You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy is Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon on the microphone. On my right hand side, I got
para pa 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 Vladimir Camaño.
There you go. It gets even more.
Gotta buy something new.
Sophisticated. Gotta buy something new. On my left hand side,
you got Ali Muhammad in the conversation.
Guru.
There you go.
Love that. The voice of your choice.
Love that man.
And then on my immediate left, we got a guest in the building.
Word. Drum roll.
This man is a television legend. He's on, you know, he's a pioneer. He's
myth.
A producer.
Myth.
He's a myth. He is a
Loch Ness.
Now he's a powerhouse of the television game. I first met him. VH1, you're working on Big Morning Buzz Live. Hey. Then us, man, is done.
The late, great Big Morning Buzz Live.
The late, great Big Morning Buzz
Moment
Live.
Of silence.
There it is. How about that? Guy Court, Uncommon Sense.
Guy Code.
Guy Code.
Mad Brainstorms up in here.
Right. And we also did a sketch together. You know what I mean?
We did. It's a
damn shame. Yeah. Give it up right now for Andrew Goldstein. Give it up for
What up? At Ange Gold on Twitter. Happy Rosh Hashanah, guys.
No doubt.
And Burger Sherpa.
I am a burger enthusiast and a new member of the Gotham Burger Social Club. I'm in a legit monthly burger club.
Where you eat overpriced burgers and report on them.
That is what we do.
How's our PETA fan base, Damien? Is it pretty big?
I mean, they've been declining, so that's why we're going full force with all of the, you know, slaughter.
We talk burgers at the end. I'll give you some top five-age or something.
We're going to get into that.
I send Damien recommendations now and again.
Absolutely.
Oh, dude, I'm a burger head.
Absolutely. But I'm happy to have you in the building.
Thank
man.
You, sir. I'm happy to be here. Nice to meet everybody.
No doubt,
right.
So, what's popping? Well, where we left. I mean, last week. What's going on this week? What we seen this Mayweather? Did anybody see this Mayweather fight?
Mm-hmm. I refuse to pay for another Mayweather fight.
I thought this one was
there. There are no Mayweather fights.
You good now?
I paid for the last. Well, come on now. There was that whole thing on ESPN. I think it was where they said he injected himself with like an anti-inflammatory right before the Pacquiao fight. You guys didn't hear about that?
No.
I mean, they always got some swirling around.
This is my belief. I think Mayweather has a team of writers. They got a writing room. And they put little dramas together to get people to get hyped for the fight. So apparently the way it's sounding is that Mayweather and Pacquiao are going to come in again for the number 50 fight. That's what it sounds like.
I don't even think that's going to be a draw just for the fact that Pacquiao didn't look competitive enough to justify.
Pacquiao looked like he was trying to just get that check.
He was trying to get that check. Yeah. He took that check to his chin.
Speaking of the check, I mean, nobody's seen it. Nobody cared about it.
What were the
still
numbers?
Still made $70 million.
He made $70 million. Yeah.
Now was it a free? I thought the fight was free.
How you make $70 million fighting Berto?
Because Mayweather.
Because Mayweather.
It's crazy.
You know what it is, Andrew? I'm pretty sure you know this. That's why I think he has a team of writers. They give you the illusion that maybe this could be the guy.
Boxing is so washed, right?
Boxing is
especially now
washed.
That Mayweather is retired. Boxing's got to be considered washed. Who?
It's terrible.
Who are the kids?
I'm not a boxing guy.
Listen to the kids, bro.
You got to, I guess.
I think World Star has better fights.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Than boxing does at this point, right?
Absolutely.
In your local Denny's.
They should have pay-per-view World Star fights.
I still can't give it to UFC yet. I haven't bought on to the UFC.
Ronda Rousey?
I mean, it's cool. Ronda Rousey's a phenomenon. That's cool. She's, you know, but
can
still.
I give you my, because, you know, I'm a wrestling guy. I worked for the WWE.
Yeah,
I've been a wrestling fan for 30 plus years. I'll give you my 5-10 seconds on the UFC.
Go ahead.
Starting now. 10. Nine.
They Nine. Need to embrace the wrestling stink. They need, like when Brock Lesnar was in the UFC.
Okay.
That shit was popping.
Uh-huh.
And he fought, won the title, stood on the Coors Light logo and said, "I drink Bud Light." He cut a heel promo that they call in the wrestling business. They need that wrestling aura where the stars are built up to be larger than life. Dana White needs a little Vince McMahon in him. He fights so hard to make UFC seem legitimate that he eschews, big word, anything to do with wrestling, even though his biggest star came from the WWE. And Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, and Ronda Rousey just appeared at WrestleMania, will probably appear at the next WrestleMania. Those dudes, like Rampage Jackson and Bones Jones, those dudes should be on boxes of cereal. Kids should know who those dudes are, and they don't. They are not household names. They should be on every talk show. They should be on Conan. They should be on Fallon. They should be doing everything, but the only person you hear about is Dana White. That's my theory.
I mean, yeah, but they gotta have some personality. I saw something. You got personality. I don't know many of these guys. This one dude, you probably know the dude. He's an Irish guy.
Yeah, he's nuts. McGregor.
Yeah. Now he's a personality. He's a
exactly.
But
do you see him on talk shows? No, they put him in the background.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen him. So now I would like to say this is how fucked up it is for the UFC. Not fucked up, but this is how hard they pushing. They had basically everybody that competes in the UFC at one press conference just talking shit to whoever, and whoever the crowd responded to, they felt like, okay, that might be the guy.
That was a focus group.
Yeah, it was basically.
That was a focus group.
They were trying to figure it out. Yeah.
They had little polls.
Bring them all. Yeah. It's a casting.
80% of people really enjoyed.
Dana White's not the carnival barker that Vince McMahon is. He knows how to get like the core people in the building, but they need to get the other people in the building. And Ronda Rousey, I think, is doing that because it's such a gimmick.
She's hot.
But she's great. She's not even a gimmick. That's almost disrespectful that I would say that, but she is legit.
And she went on record saying that she could beat Mayweather.
Yeah,
she said I would kick Mayweather's ass.
Well, there's no upside to that for Mayweather.
Oh, not at all.
You know what I mean? He's a known, supposedly domestic abuser. So if he really give it to her, you don't win.
He loses either way.
Yeah, that's always the worst
but
dart to
go. That question comes down to what kind of fight is it? Is it straight boxing? Because then I go with Mayweather. But if you're allowed to do takedowns and shit, I'm Rousey all the way.
Beat him up.
Nah, still with Mayweather. Mayweather's too elusive. You can't grab what you can't catch, man. I might sting you with something.
Yeah, but you're still a man. You get him a takedown, you put that rear naked choke on him.
You got to do all of that fast because Mayweather is
Ronda Rousey.
49-0.
Ronda Rousey, would you smash?
I got to look at her. I don't know. Again,
Ali, would you smash Ronda Rousey?
Yeah,
talk about focus group. Ronda Rousey, Vlad.
I think most guys would do it for the story. You do it for the
story.
I don't know. Man. Would you?
Yeah, probably.
Nobody is like, yeah. Chris.
I'd do it.
Chris has said, fuck it. I'm that guy.
I'm a fan, though.
Right. That's what it is. You're a fan.
Now, which one of them used to be a man?
That was a
cyborg or some shit?
No. There was I forget her name. We talked about it on Race Wars a couple weeks ago. But she, he fought in the military and everything. And then he switched and became a boxer and fought a couple of fights until they figured out that she was a man.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right. Isn't that crazy? You get the surgery just so you can hit a woman and get away with it?
Just for the advantage.
Right. You can have my dick if I get to punch a girl.
Nah, I'm keeping my dick. I think that's a cool thing. I'll keep my dick. I won't hit women. Fuck it. The Mayweather shit, I wasn't interested. You know what I mean? One, Berto wasn't enough of a draw. Nah. There's footage of Berto sparring with Dame Dash, and Dame Dash does tap his jaw.
It's Harlem, baby.
Yeah, and Dame Dash is just an executive. He, you know, that's an amateur fighter.
You know, he was a boxer back in the day.
He got hands, and I'm not discounting his hands, but he has hands for an exec. He's not 49-0.
He was a boxer, though.
But he ain't on Floyd's level.
He's not on Floyd's level he was a boxer, though.
Yeah, but
Have you guys seen the trailer for Creed?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that.
The second one just dropped today as we're shooting here
in jail cell.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I would pay $70 to watch Michael B. Jordan as Creed versus Mayweather.
Nah. Michael B. Jordan would be on his ass.
Yeah, it would be terrible for that man. He's an actor.
Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, no problems.
You know, that was a cut. All right, we're going to take it back to when you're
Friday Night Lights Out.
You got to give it up to Sly Stallone, dude. This guy knows how to make a franchise. Yes. Jesus Christ. I mean, what, this is number 8 Rocky in the series? What is it, number 9?
Well, it's not Rocky. This is Creed.
But I mean, you got it's an extension.
It's the unofficial 7th movie.
But I bet you he's had that Creed script in
the
because you know what's going to happen next, right?
Yes.
The Dolph Lundgren character probably has a son out there.
His son.
And he's going to end up fighting Creed in the sequel.
Vladimir.
Yeah. His
name I'm not mad at that.
No,
You see what I'm saying? This thing is dope.
What about Clubber Lang?
He got a seat out there.
You know Clubber Lang got like 9 kids out there out in those streets.
They training together.
He
got like 9-10 kids.
Yeah.
Sean Kemp in it.
You know what I'm saying? Mickey got a couple kids out there.
Creed is gonna be a winner though.
Yeah, I fell off at the Clubber Lang. I fell off the Rocky series.
Yeah. Rocky Balboa, what was that? That's 5? That was 7?
No,
Rocky
Balboa was really 6, because 5 was an actual movie with Tommy Gunn. Mm. Balboa was the one they just did.
The one that's called Rocky Balboa.
It's just called Balboa. But it's technically Rocky 6, and then Creed is technically Rocky 7.
Balboa's the one where he has that epic line outside the restaurant. He's like, it's not how hard you get up, whatever.
Which is
Balboa was about his son.
His son.
Balboa was his
son. And the restaurant. He opened up the restaurant.
Yeah. But this movie...
Balboa was good, though.
Balboa was all right.
Yeah.
Rocky 5, pretty terrible movie. But there's the scene where he goes back to the old gym in Philly, and they do flashbacks to him and Mickey. And if you don't cry at that scene, you're not a human being.
Yeah, it's true.
See, now, I hate those type of statements.
Nah.
Why?
Because you're not a human.
I'm a fucking despicable creature.
Or do you see the intent behind it, and that's why you don't cry? Because you feel like you're being puppeted into tears.
Yeah, I'm like, don't manipulate my emotions.
I'm dead
inside. Like in an NWA movie.
I'm dead inside, but Rocky gets me all the time. Yo, I watched the trailer for Creed, and there's a scene where Rocky's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's sitting, and Michael B. Jordan's sitting by his bedside, and he's like, just fight, whatever. Fucking well up just watching the trailer.
Yeah, I think you're a little sensitive.
That's
I love Rocky.
Rocky
1 through 4 as one movie is my favorite movie of all time.
I just feel like when people say, if you don't feel anything, it sets it to, because I'll tell you the last time Paul Walker died, right? So everybody's like, if you see Fast Furious 7, there's this homage to Paul Walker in there. If you're not dead inside, you will be in tears.
Right.
Man, yeah. I was looking at that shit with the stone face.
Making me cry in a Fast and Furious movie is Vin Diesel's acting.
Ah.
Ba-bam!
Bang, bang, bang!
He does.
You got air horn?
He doesn't. You got to give it to him, though, because like, it's like he's monotone every scene.
Man's richer than...
Yeah.
He's made so much money.
There's no act outs.
Hey, man.
People want it. There's no act outs.
He's a big ass star on the low. Like,
he is.
He's killing them in
his
own.
He's on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He plays Groot.
Yeah.
He did one line, not even a line. Yeah. I am Groot.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm not mad at him.
He's like a buffier version of Keanu Reeves.
They just did a piece on him saying that that's what they want globally. They want the Vin Diesel look.
Because it's ambiguous.
That's like, global.
I'm ready for that.
So unlike
Dominican on the low. Yes.
No, he's not.
I've heard he's Dominican on the low. From a Dominican.
First of all, the Dominican is the go-to ethnicity whenever you can't figure somebody out.
No.
Barack is Dominican,
I've heard
right?
From a Dominican and he's
have
Dominican
you ever seen the
viral? He's not proud.
The classic viral video of him breaking.
He's quiet about it.
He's breakdancing as a teen and he's got a big afro.
Nah, I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised.
That's a classic viral video. We did that on Web Junk with Patrice.
I got to check it out.
He was in the DR?
He's on cardboard
getting
teaching
it
it's a tutorial for teaching people how to breakdance, and he's in an Adidas sweatsuit.
Okay.
And he's got a curly afro, uh-huh. And he's doing all the popping and locking and floor moves and everything.
I'm not mad at him.
Google
Sound Dominican to me.
It's like they show it when he goes on talk shows.
Hashtag transformations.
You check it out. You got to look into that.
You got to give props to anybody that picks the stage name Vin Diesel and gets away with it.
That's not his real name, though, right?
No.
Why would it be?
I thought, man, you got interesting parents.
His real name is Leonard Diesel.
Leonard.
Exactly.
Wait, Diesel's the real name?
No.
No.
Who knows?
He's like Bob Cooperstein.
You know what I'm saying?
Bob Cooperstein.
I don't even know. I forget what his real name is.
Tyrone Feldstein.
Yeah, or something.
That is the blackest Jewish name.
You know what I'm saying? Then you get
Douglas Goldberg.
And then you mix that together, you get Dominican.
Lenny Berkowitz.
Jamal Berkowitz, yeah.
All right, Lenny, you want to be called Vin Diesel? Go fuck yourself.
Not only can he play basketball, he can manage the team.
He's good. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's Dominican on the low.
I'm gonna find out.
Check it out.
Zoe Saldana's half Dominican too.
Yeah, but that's not on the low. I feel like she's out there.
She came out like that.
Yeah. She's killing it too. Yeah. Avatar, you know what I mean?
You hyped, huh?
And all them aliens.
You ready? You ready for your space?
All them, absolutely, goddamn.
You ready to
she
take
playing
your spot.
Every color she's not. Now she's playing Nina Simone, and the internet went crazy over that.
That didn't go too well.
Yeah, it wasn't feeling
it's not
that.
A good casting call. I mean, doesn't she doesn't. It's terrible. Yeah, it doesn't fit the part.
Overstretched her boundaries.
It's like Emma Stone playing an Asian broad, and
that went in, horrible.
Oh, Honolulu or whatever?
Honolulu.
With Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
That was a flop.
She's a redheaded white girl.
Yeah, dude.
you can't get less Asian.
And she's got some of the biggest eyes in the game, like Emma
yeah.
Stone.
Yeah, true, too.
Like, this no, totally, Asian. Yeah, that's totally. Asian about. Yeah. You know, shout out to our Asian listeners.
Burr.
Feeling the
way
I
feel like
about
a Hollywood, like an agent move. Like, she has some powerful agents. Like, listen, she's getting this role.
She's on fire.
She's so hot.
Well, that's Lil Kim famously wanted an Asian to play her in Notorious.
Because she wanted
I don't,
to be Asian.
That I guess.
She wanted herself to play Asian.
Now she look Asian. She could have played
She looks
Asian.
Like that woman on the Upper West Side, the cat
the
woman.
The cat woman.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Parker. On her way.
I mean.
You said what?
What you say?
Ali fucked her. The cat woman. She
Ali,
knows.
Do you want to clear that up? You want to clear that speculation?
Now, you know that ain't no cats she, that I want to be a part of.
She looks like a cat woman. Oh.
Ali is a family man.
That too, but you know, that even still, man. Even in general conversation,
yeah, you
want to
be associated with that. Yeah, yeah.
Cat woman ain't what you want.
Yeah.
Speaking
want
of cats. Two pit bulls attacked some dude in fucking the Bronx.
I'm so upset at that video.
Oh, man. Are you?
Yeah, the pit bull is the minority of the animal kingdom. Like, uh-huh. It's the negative. That's like cops for dogs, where they keep showing these pit bull videos, man.
Well, come on, man.
I mean, is it that or
is
it
no
that?
There's no context for what the hell happened. Maybe
it wasn't
guy...
the pit bulls. It's the dogs attacked a person.
But they don't frame it that
the
way.
Man almost died.
Forget that.
Really?
Yeah. Because wow. We don't know what the context is.
You're dead
was.
Inside.
No, are you a pit bull apologist?
I love pit bulls, man.
So you're a pit bull apologist? Because there's a lot of pit bull apologists going on. And a pit bull's going to be... I hate to...
Damon and I always go back and forth on this. Damon's like, listen, hey, he got teeth. Listen.
Adult, that motherfucker do got teeth.
And
his
jaw strength is crazy on a pit bull. Like, all right, every dog bite, right? But when you got a pit bull, first of all, that shit look. You ever look at a pit bull's torso? That shit is like a man.
Like he's standing up.
Yeah, that shit look like Apollo Creed. And then the jaw strength is what is it? You can't pull. It's like a ton of jaw strength.
Yeah.
You don't want that shit around your kid. Because it could, like, at Andrew, any point, what do you
think, or your neighbor.
Thoughts?
I have a puppy. Like,
what do you got? What kind of breed?
It's we don't even know. We're trying to figure out. But he's like a little dachshund terrier. Mix of some sort, low to the ground, but terrier
low
face,
center gravity,
like the most docile. He sleeps next to me, like he's no
yeah.
Pit bulls. You know, I'm white from the suburbs, Jewish, 5'8". Like we don't fuck with pit bulls.
No,
pit
white bulls. People,
white
love
people,
pit
fuck
bull.
With the yeah, gentrifiers. Jews, fuck with it. The pit bulls,
right? But that the only thing I can think.
I think it's a weapon. I think it's a yeah. Way
protection.
It's the glass. Let me walk through the hood or with somebody they recognize.
Let you know, okay, I'm cool.
Instead
I'm
of cool. Having black friends, they just have
they got
pit bull.
A pit bull. Pit bull named Derek.
A rescue.
I love dogs with human boss. Names, by the way. Dogs with human best. Names. Yeah. Shout out.
What's the joke you had, the Thelonious?
Thelonious. Yeah, man.
Dog named Thelonious.
But I, you know, it's what Damon said, or what you Vlad said. You need to know the context, because I want to know what the stupid human did to
thank
antagonize.
You,
well, let's talk about that.
Supposedly,
because usually, like shark attacks, uh-huh. That's because a fucking human being was swimming where he shouldn't have been swimming.
Okay.
Well, in this particular case, the report is that the owner of the dog sicked the dog on the human.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then yeah.
Now, but why?
There were complaints against that woman, right?
Do you blame the dog now?
Well, I want to know why.
You,
I feel
who
like...
blamed the dog in the first place?
No.
We said the dog's. Mauled the man.
Right. Well, the dog does take the fall at the end of the day. The dog's going to
put
to sleep.
That's what I'm saying. The dog, right.
Well, got,
maybe the owner him. Might be jailed or fined or some
well,
shit.
Well, the dog's
like
going to get put to sleep, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the dog definitely.
But apparently, according to the neighbors, the dogs might need to be put to sleep. They've been wilding out all summer.
I've heard.
Well, remember the story? Baby this kids? Happened before where that woman got her face bitten off by a dog and she got it redone on Oprah.
She got a face put back on?
Yeah, or Dr. Phil, one of them.
The new face never
No, it never
no,
was.
No, never.
They're doing a head transplant.
That's in the news. The head transplant.
Yeah,
in Russia.
Heard about
a
that.
Full head?
Full head. It's the first time ever.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah, really? Was it done or the guy's doing it?
They're
no,
doing
they,
it.
They
raised the money and he's
planning for
it. Yeah.
Are they a dead head? Like they
no, they're taking a. They're going to take the head of a dude who has a fucked up body.
Okay. And put it
on a donor body. So it's gonna be his head on a donor body.
So who's dead?
I love the medical.
The body is dead.
I love the non-medical description.
But the body could come back to life with the head.
It's a newly dead body.
So they got like 15 minutes.
I don't know.
Ice bath, man.
How do you keep the head with the eyeballs? Like, I don't, it's so. Yeah,
well, I feel like it's so many little.
But that's what they say. This is some crazy experimental, probably ain't going to work.
Only the Russians could figure it out. And it's the opposite of every ISIS video you've ever watched.
It's watching it reverse.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You know, reconnecting
that is probably where they get the donor body from.
Ooh.
Hey now.
Oh, hey, oh, conspiracy.
Oh,
but back to the pit bulls. I feel bad because the dogs are going to get put to sleep regardless of how violent those dogs are. But I think the owner is at fault in this particular case. But usually it's the victim that antagonizes the animal, just like a surfer goes out and gets his leg bit off by a shark. But you're in the shark's home.
Yeah. My thing is, and this is right.
You're at the zoo antagonizing the monkey.
Right.
This is ripe for speculation, because my thing is, supposedly, the story that we've heard is she sicked those two dogs on that dude.
Mm-hmm.
What did that dude say to get those two pit bulls sicked on? What did he do?
He could have called it a
in the Bronx. Did he accuse her of having Legionnaire's disease?
It was definitely in Spanish.
That's the Bronx Ebola.
Definitely in Spanish.
I'm thinking of Bronx context.
What's the worst thing you could say to a woman in Spanish?
I mean,
with two pit bulls.
Your arroz con pollo was terrible.
Yeah, your guandulas, your pateles en hojas. Your pateles en hojas wasn't that good. Andrew, you know your little
your arroz con pollo was trash, B.
You got your Latin cuisine up.
I'm a foodie.
There's just so many things you could. I mean, this, you know.
What's the worst offense in the Bronx?
Ooh.
There you go. Uptown, kicking it.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something.
Yeah, Red Sox hat on?
Nah.
That ain't enough?
I don't know. Could have.
62-year-old, was he white guy?
Maybe he insulted the 4 train. I don't know. Maybe, you know.
She sent him to the C-Town for something and he came back empty handed?
No change?
I suspect he smoked up all the rock.
You think it's a crack? You feel like this is a vintage 90s issue.
No, this is saying this is 92.
Crack and pit bull.
Cracks and pit bull.
Throwback Thursday.
Because he hit the pipe till the rock was all gone.
That's hilarious.
Motherfucker, get his ass. I tell you one thing, them pit bulls was relentless and they get it done. Like every time they pulled away, they came back on his ass.
If you watch the clip, the pit bulls are actually wagging their tails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in their mind, they're going, hey,
this is good.
We're having a great time.
We're having a meal.
This is a meal.
And people kept jumping in. They're like, oh, there's more people getting in this. This is playtime.
Mm. Well, that indicates something. And if the pit bulls have tails, then they might not be as ferocious as we think. Because when you fight a pit bull, that's the first thing you do is you clip the tail so the tail doesn't get bit in the fight. You got to clip the tails and clip the ears. I mean, you know.
That's even worse. It was just
it's like every DMX video I ever saw.
Absolutely. You know, but.
But they said that the pit bulls had eaten a little dog earlier in the summer. Okay. So they had the blood taste. They were bloodthirsty. That was the neighbors. They say the dog's been running wild in the neighborhood all summer.
Ain't that crazy?
And they ate a little dog earlier.
Do we know the names of the dog? I feel like that
would help. To
yeah, that would kind of help.
I would love to know if the dogs had badass names.
I think it's Emerald and Ruby. Yeah, that shit is crazy.
Hannibal.
It's one of those things, though, where if you live on that block, you know. Mm-hmm. Take your ass around the
dog. That's exactly
it's
what
it's one
they
of those
say.
Things where you just start to navigate around the danger. You don't do anything about the danger. You just like, that's hilarious. Walk around.
I'm sure on New York 1.
Your grandmother tell you.
Yeah, get a running start when you hit that block.
I'm sure on New York 1 there's going to be a story about it where they talk to the neighbors and they're like, I told you. I told you it was going to happen.
Pitbull is a pitbull.
It's a pitbull.
I mean, Pitbull's gonna pit.
Here's the thing. My father.
Pit's gonna pit.
My father's a super. My dad's been a super for close to 30 years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've never had an issue with a pitbull.
Yeah, lucky.
We've had multiple pitbulls in the building. We've had Dobermans. We've had Rottweilers.
Lucky.
Never an issue.
Never an issue with any dogs.
Never issue with any dogs.
Okay. Yeah.
No you one got bit.
You probably gave the pit bull love and, you know, attention and you got a good building.
And the tenants made sure that they knew who the super was. Like, they knew, they told the pit bull, hey, this guy is going to come to the apartment on a frequent basis, so make sure you know him. So my father was cool with all the pit bulls. You know what I mean? All the pit bulls knew
Can
my
you
dad.
Reform a pit bull with love and affection?
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they try to do.
Mike Vick dogs Damon are Damon in disagrees. Homes.
Yeah.
I just think a pit bull could catch a flashback. You know
Damon
what I mean?
Damon disagrees.
Yeah, I just never know. That shit got PTSD.
It's an animal.
It's always in them?
Yeah.
We humans don't really speak animals, so you don't know when it's going.
You don't know what it takes to click his ass
off. To pop off.
Caesar Milan.
You know.
So, you know.
The worst thing in horror movies is always when the people start getting possessed, but then the family pet gets possessed, and the owner doesn't know if he should kill it or not, but the pet's about to slaughter him.
And everybody else.
That's such a horror movie cliche.
What's that movie with the crazy dog?
Cujo. That shit fucked me up for a minute. Christine fucked me up.
Oh, the car?
Christine. Great. Christine was scary. I got to see it again. I was a young kid, but that shit was scary as hell back in the day.
Yeah, when you was young, that shit was scary.
Stephen King used to be the shit. He had a bunch.
Carrie was some crazy shit.
The Shining, The Exorcist.
Remember the robot Rottweiler?
No.
It was like a genetically modified Rottweiler that were killing people. No. It was a movie that came out like in the mid like early 90s.
Nah, that sounds like some straight to DVD
shit. Yeah,
it was USA Network.
Yeah, that definitely sounded like some old up all night.
It was a genetically altered Ron Rottweiler. This dude was killing people.
Oh, man. What's up with your man Matt Damon, man? What's he doing? He's putting his foot in his mouth out here in these streets?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, TV, your TV.
I mean, this clip is just, I don't know. It's crazy. It's Project Greenlight, which is that show. It's been in so many incarnations of, you know, trying to get a movie made and following the process on TV. And I guess he and Ben are sitting in a room talking to an African-American woman who's, a producer on the film.
And for many different films, right? She's an experienced.
She's a big-time producer.
Yeah, she's a big-time. She's not like some small.
Of one, Dear White People. So
In this clip, all we know is the context of the clip. We don't know what happens before or after and what their relationship is. But she basically says, ask the question about, she brings up the topic of diversity on the producing team behind the camera. And we need to get a diverse set of producers, whatever. And Damon, straight faced, completely serious, says, we don't have to worry about diversity here. We only have to worry about diversity when we start casting the movie. And her reaction is so immediate, like, what? Oh, she is so taken aback by his honest, brutally honest, stunned. Obvious racism.
Stunned by it. We're gonna put the video on Facebook.
And it's we worry about diversity when we get to the movie, which the black character is a prostitute named Harmony.
Correct.
Yeah. So obviously,
it's like a pit bull named Emerald.
Correct.
I mean, it's almost like I felt like I was being clickbaited. I mean, come on, man. How does it get? That's just too.
Again, they're trying to.
A prostitute named Harmony?
I go with you. I'm a conspiracy theorist, and like they want people to watch the show, and they send out this clip because why else would they send out this, like, this terrible clip? This incriminating clip.
Damning clip.
But Matt Damon rolls with Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck, we know, has.
He's black
has
on the low.
Slave owner
slave
history.
Slave owner ancestry.com.
Oppressor.
And he got that show taken off the air because of it. And the show never aired.
No, he didn't get it taken off the air. What happened was, they skipped gates. They convinced him to kind of
squash. Pressured him, right?
So it's on Skip Gates. That's your bread and butter. Your bread and butter is, that's like telling Maury, hold on, I know that kid's mom, but I don't need you to. If Maury don't do Maury, then there should be no Maury.
But don't you think if when that stuff happened with Affleck, if he just said, you know what? This surprised me just as much as it surprised y'all, and I'm disgusted by it, but it doesn't have any effect on me and my beliefs and my family. Wouldn't he have? It would have been fine.
He'd have been better.
But he had that white, like, I got this, that celebrity thing of like, I gotta squash this.
Yeah.
That PR, that like Olivia Pope shit.
Yeah.
I gotta protect my ancestors.
Unfortunately, Skip
loses
his job.
But who?
Yeah. But Skip fucked up because this is your house. This is your thing. If you're a white guy.
Skip probably sent that hot nanny into his house to break up his marriage.
Maybe. I hope Skip did something. But listen, this is my thing. If you're a white guy who's going on a show about ancestry, there's always the chance that your people might have owned some black people. So You already run that risk. Like, that's what could be revealed every week. If I keep watching this show week after week after week, no white people own slaves. I'm going to be like, what the fuck? These ain't white people.
I mean, you know? As a black guy, I'm under the assumption that you link to a slave owner at some point.
At some point.
I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. We were the slaves.
It's not big news.
I feel like it was
it's just an assumption.
Yeah, it became a convenience, it seemed. It was like, you ain't got a slave, but you better get you a slave, nigga. You out here what picking
kind of,
all that.
What kind of white motherfucker is you?
So my thing is,
it's not a spoiler alert.
Skip played himself.
Yeah. Skip played himself on a few different levels. One, by agreeing to do it, and two, by sending that old passive aggressive ass email to Sony. Hey, your boy, you know, wants me to, you know, suppress this information. What should I do? Come on, man. Why are you sending an email to Sony?
Well, that's the paper trail.
To ask.
Everybody played that situation completely wrong.
Yeah, it's like.
But with Damien, Damien. You know, on its own, it's really incriminating. But I think it's promotion for the show, and
it's salacious.
It's clickbait, like you said.
Right. Yeah, and it's got to be some type of resolution.
Yeah, it's definitely a resolution. First of all, you got, you know, the white guys and the white guy with the slave owner heritage.
Yeah.
With the lone black producer who came from Dear White People.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like.
The next 5 seconds of the video is just, I'm just kidding.
Bullshit.
I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, but let me ask you this. let's take off our politically correct hats. Let's be honest here. How much does diversity matter behind the camera as opposed to in front of the camera?
I mean,
if the story's good and it's well cast, like, how much, like, if you think about some of the best black movies or even some, you know, like, just my thing is,
it matters.
I want there to be diversity just as far as the business is going.
Right.
You know what I mean? But how aware is the consumer about diversity behind the camera?
The consumer's never aware of what's happening behind the camera for the most part. But and like you say, in specific cases, you know, of course, we haven't had much diversity in the history of Hollywood so far. So really, at this point, you know what I'm saying, we don't know what it looks like on the other side. But it does matter when you talk about the overall game and you know, shit, the stories being told with, you know, with certain texture, better stories being told. And I think right now we're in a place where we're seeing a lot of stories being told with diverse, you know what I'm saying, cast and crew that are being more successful. Like a lot of the black shows that's out now with, you know, I guess Empires and the Powers and all those things, they have a lot of diversity on the crews and the cast, and you're seeing the success of those shows. So I think it matters.
But I will say there's a, like Tyler Perry is a perfect example of like, I think there's a reaction when it's overtly like, Tyler Perry, most of his whole company are black, I believe.
Right. Yeah. You can say it. You say that.
Yeah.
How you want to say it.
No, but I'm just saying, like, white, like,
I believe.
I'm,
go ahead, speak on.
No, but like, white, I don't think, obviously the themes of the movie are what they are. It's like white people aren't going in drones to go see Madea movies. Yeah. But like, I think there's like that negative reaction if you'd go too far. Like, obviously you want there should be a push for diversity across the board and not like all white or all black.
It's like Girls. When that first season of Girls came out, it was like, well, where the black people at? You in Brooklyn.
And then the second season, it felt forced.
Yeah, but
and
you don't need, it's like the whole SNL argument too. It's like, find them when they're funny.
But for me, it's like, I don't care that if this is an all white show, it's an all black show, all black. But, you know, it's just the point where it's just no fucking jobs, you know what I'm saying, available, you know what I'm saying, when there are people that have the talent they're doing.
Yeah, well, I agree with talented people getting work. You know, I'm just curious about when it becomes the cause, it becomes more about the cause than it is about the outcome.
Right.
You know, I'm always going to be about black people getting a check. You know what I'm saying? In every instance. But if it doesn't make sense to the story, it's interesting. But I, you know, it's, you know, we in this time where a lot of that's being explored now. Like, we got to look at this.
Yeah, I mean, look at
the Seinfeld
topical
situation.
The Vanity Fair picture with all the late night hosts. Everybody's mad about that because it's highlighting the fact that all the late night hosts are 80% are white men, mm-hmm. and the other 20% are light skinned black dudes, and there's no females, and there's
Fallon, right? Larry Seth Meyers,
James Corden,
James Corden.
You got to look at the picture. It's Steven. All white dudes in really nice suits, and obviously Larry Wilmore and Trevor Noah. There's no women, so women are upset. Mm. But it's like, well, no women host late night shows right now.
Well, Chelsea Lately has that Netflix
it's
deal.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Samantha Bee has a show coming. But
Girl Code Live.
Exactly. Charlamagne's not on there. I'm just saying.
Right. Right.
Shout out
Where's
to
Where's Arsenio?
Yeah. So, but you're right.
It's interesting.
We're in
point.
A time where everything has to be okay for everybody.
Right.
And it's never going to happen. The SNL thing. And then they went out and she should have been hired, but she should have been hired at. When everybody else was hired, not in the middle of the season when they got the pressure of we need a black female.
Yeah, because when you get that job as the black person, it's like all of this undue pressure. The pressure should just be to be funny rather than, you are the appointed black castmate. You better pull your, you better make strides out here.
You got a black quota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of undermines your funny.
But then, but at the same time, though, if you don't put a focus on it, I'm putting this out as a question, kind of like affirmative action.
Good.
If you don't put a focus on it, does it not get done? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a good point.
And sometimes it gets done for a second, for a hot minute, for a reason, for a show. But you know what I'm saying? The whole point is, I guess, to be a little bit of equilibrium where it's almost fair.
You know,
but it's because it's never going to be
look,
fair.
Look, man, I'll tell you straight up. I've been in the game a long time in terms of TV, 15 years. And a writer for a lot of that. And writing rooms, like, besides being in a brainstorm with Damien, I can't name other, like, it just doesn't,
it's
it doesn't come up.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up. And it's not to say, like, they wouldn't get hired. I just don't, I don't see those young kids coming up saying, I want to be a writer. Like, we got Tashawn on Uncommon Sense. And I'm like, where are your friends, man? Like, let's go.
Hilarious.
Like,
hilarious. Where are your friends? Tashawn's black.
But he's the best.
No, by
the
way,
I love him because his last name's Smickle. And I'm like, you're my favorite black guy who has the last name of, like, a word in Yiddish for a small penis.
Oh, wow.
That's hilarious.
I wonder if he knew that. Well, he had to know that by now.
I'm sure the doctor was like, listen.
But he's
sure.
But I'm just saying.
You want to go by Diesel? You sure?
You know, and we have the conversation on Common Sense all the time. Like, we're like, yo, because we have Kaz from The Stash, Real Life Kaz on all the time. He's a great guy, but we're like, we need more Kazes.
Yeah.
Like, we need more, you know.
And what does Kaz do?
Kaz is the editor of, like, a hip-hop news website and magazine called The Stash. And he's just a great arbiter of all of the stuff that we cover on the show. But it's like, we'd love to hire him as a writer, but he's got his own hustle. But it's like, are there 20 more of you somewhere?
There's probably 50, it's 100, there's a lot of them.
I'm sure there are, but I'm saying in MTV and in Viacom, like, it's just not,
it's a collective thing where people on that side, on the hiring side, need to be a little bit more, like, they gotta be a little bit more proactive and go to where they are. And then on the talent side, same thing. Like, you know, to get in the game, I realize you gotta do often before you get selected. So you gotta kind of, especially if you a person of color, you might have to write your way in the game. You might have to create your own content that gains a little speed out there to where hopefully that shit breaks into the mainstream conversation, and then you are acknowledged as, okay, that's somebody we could work with. You know, look at someone like Issa Rae, or there's a bunch of, that happens a bunch, but at the same time, there are a bunch of these people out there already. It's just on the hiring side, you got to be a little bit more aggressive about finding these people. Ask Kaz. Yo, Kaz, give us 5 other names.
You
asked me the other day, and I got to give you those names.
We do it all the time. I'm always, in the beginning, I was DMing him all the time. Like, yo, send me what you got.
Muhammad, good dude.
That's how I slide into dudes' DMs.
I'm a good dude.
Muhammad's a good dude.
Let's do it.
I do stuff.
I just met him. Let's do it.
Yeah, but
Muhammad's actually a great dude.
But how did you get in the game?
I was a PA. Mm-hmm. I was a production assistant. I PA'd on everything I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. I drove vans. I picked up puppets for Crank Yankers. I made coffee. I went and did the set arrangements on the Isaac Mizrahi show. Like anything and everything I could get my hands on. And then I got on Boiling Points, the old prank show on MTV, yep, as a PA. And that was a show that was very collaborative, where everybody was pitching ideas. And that ended up becoming my first writing job. And then it was off from there. And MTV is so much content on all those channels that just built that resume up. But
you also a page.
I was a page at NBC.
That's something to speak on.
What's
too.
A but a page at NBC, I mean, that's a corporate program where there is. Yeah.
Explain it a bit to the listeners.
NBC Page program is tried 100-plus-year-old program at NBC. When you get out of college, it's like
make
a
sound
year.
Like, make it sound like Yale.
It's a year long. It's a year long program, and it's very competitive. And you get in, and you give the studio tours at 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. And you do that for like the first 4 months, and then you become eligible for assignments in the building. And when I was there, it was much more entertainment focused. Now it's much more GE corporate focused. Mm-hmm. But like, I worked on Rosie, I worked on Conan, I worked on SNL. I was the page assigned to SNL, so I had that whole like 8 months, which was dope. Worked in the president's, like, it was graduate school for TV. And then when I got out, it's like I know 60 other people that are graduating or did graduate and moved. Like, I knew somebody at every show. So yeah. I was just like,
it needs to be more of that type of thing. There's like, you know, and that's dope. If you get into the page, right, there needs to be more of those programs that not only get you in the game, like funnel you into the game, but create this community of people coming up together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then now that's your peer set. And then now you got people all over the game.
That was exactly it, man. My first like 15 jobs all came from other pages that I knew and landed somewhere else. But you know, like over at UCB, you have the first Black Harold team.
Yeah,
with Gerard Milligan and who's an MTVer, and those guys are getting hired now. They're getting writing looks and produce, casting looks and stuff like that. So
I always say, and I stand by this, and we've talked about this shit, but I always say you just got to put yourself in position. You know what I mean? Like, when you see what's going on out there, something that you want to do, and you see what's going on out there, research that shit. I've always been the person, like, you know, even if it was just in the hip-hop, you know, who produced that, who was the engineer there, who wrote on this show, who, all of that behind-the-scenes shit, so you know, okay, this person is somebody I need to reach out and be sociable to talk. I mean, speaking to Kaz, when we was leaving yesterday, Kaz was on his way to an event. Like, that's a whole nother thing. A lot of cats, a lot of people in general, not just black, white, but a lot of people, as you get older, I've just thought about this. As you get older, you have to make an effort to be social.
Yes.
You have to make an effort. When you're coming up, you're trying to establish yourself, you have to be social just because you can get a job. You're looking for opportunity. But typically, when you start getting those opportunities, you start getting that money, and you start getting positions.
And you start getting comfortable.
You get comfortable. You could build a wall around yourself. You call people you're only familiar with. You don't go to shit that you don't have nothing about. Yeah. And that's how you could be washed and fall out the game. You have to make it a point to still be in that mix. And that's tough for a lot
of
people.
Let me ask you a question, and at the risk of over, almost like being racistly generalizing. Shit. No, it's not going to be bad.
Here we go.
Do you feel like
Chris, can you mark this for potential
everybody, editing? But Damien, I know, has had the, Damien, I know, has had this experience, but do you feel like young minority creative people look more towards the performing side than the because of the celebrity culture and like the hip hop culture, like I want to be the man.
I think we all answer it. I mean, what do you think?
No, I think it's both. You know what I mean? Because you do have a contingency that wants to be in front of the camera and wants to be the star. But then, you know, people like us, I have a whole long laundry list of people in front of me and behind me that's just trying to work and do the projects and be behind the scenes and do this part of it and that part of it. I think a lot of times it's one part of it where you have the people who get in it and then they don't like the culture of it that mm-hmm. that exists.
I think that's a great point. You know what I'm saying? It's you get in it and it's all white people and you're right. like, eh, you know and what, then, this is fucking whack.
And yeah. then you, it feels like they're treating you a certain kind of way when that's the culture of the place. And of so
being it's, a PA.
So it's yeah, being a PA and you had to go get the coffee and all that shit. And then you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You already, you know what I'm saying, got the slave shit in your mm-hmm. in your atmosphere. Right, right. And then mm-hmm. motherfucker treating you like a slave. It's like, wait a minute.
Toby, yeah. go get you some
oh, I'll tell you a great I mean up now, we'll go around, but I'll tell you a great story on Common Sense. And I knew her from the buzz, but this Bianca, she was the AP yeah. on Common Sense. And I worked, like I said, on the buzz. She got hired at Rachel Ray in mm-hmm. the middle of our season.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody clowned her, but like she went to Rachel Ray. It's a great gig. You can't pass up that gig. She going like that's a show that wins Emmys. It's network, it's syndicated. That's where the money is. Mm-hmm. You sign a contract. Oh, like you get off week.
Contract
paid.
Is a big deal. Once yeah.
you, it's dope. Like yeah. I told her, I was like, there's no way you're staying at Uncommon Sense.
Yeah.
You know. So she went there and she texted me like 2 days. I go, like, how is it? And she's like, I'm the only person of any yeah. kind of minority on yeah. my floor. And I said to her, I was like, I know that is crazy, but you need to embrace that and be that person yeah. and mm-hmm. be that like yeah. pitching urban stories and right. pitching like we should have this person on. They make, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you got to be that person for right. that show and you will be indispensable and it will. And then you'll be able to bring, you know, don't, I was just like, don't get freaked out by it.
Right.
Own
and,
it.
And
own
I think,
it.
I think people get freaked out and then they don't have friends like you. Who can tell yeah. them from the other side? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they go back home.
And like, I think that's a great point. It's got to be intimidating.
Like you know what that motherfucker told me today? And then they talking to friends who like, what? They told you that shit? That's some bullshit. Man.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have the other side of it to where the people who just don't have
the work,
the information. I mean, you got that one contingency. Yeah. People who just never
that's
got
everybody.
Make it.
That's
we're not going to talk
everybody.
About it.
They just don't want. They feel too big to be a
well,
PA.
Well, I got to pick my cousin up. It's like, no, dude, you right. got to be
we,
on this.
We're not shoot. Even talking about them. Yeah. We're talking about people who, yeah. all right, who are generally want to do some shit and can do some shit and are in the mix.
Yeah.
And then it's just other people who just don't have the information, and that's where the research comes in, and that's where you know yeah. coming outside of your circle and going to places where you don't know nobody and where they don't know you yeah. and shaking hands with people who might not want to shake your hand.
And even working on projects that you don't really have much interest in. You know right. what I mean? But it's a good opportunity. Like, for instance, like you just said, leaving Uncommon Sense, going to Rachel Ray, career-wise, is probably a great move, but culture-wise, it's going to be totally different. And you kind of gotta grin and bear it. You got to, you know, bide your time. There's going to be times along your journey that it's not what you want, but you can benefit from it if you just, you know, stick yeah. it out a bit.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure like back in the day, the buzz wasn't exactly the show that you wanted to be showcasing yourself.
I wasn't mad at the buzz. I had a good time there just off the strength
of Carrie's tits.
Yeah, well, you know, shout out to Carrie Keegan. You know what I mean? She's good. She's good people. Carrie's funny to the motherfucker too. She Carrie's is. Quick too. She's it's just crazy. Not tits. Tits.
No, but
it's just not
I
tits.
Say, but I say that.
No, because, I know what you're saying.
But I say that because I used to book the comedians, and there were definitely, you know, black comedians who were like,
yeah.
nah,
yeah, I'm
nah,
sure.
Nah.
Yeah, sometimes
that
you gotta,
show's whack. I'm not.
Yeah, sometimes it can't even be about whack. I always looked at it like back to put yourself in position. I always look at it like different areas, and I'm like, I want some of that audience over there. You know what I mean? Because I don't really have entree to that audience doing what I'm doing now. So if I could take this little look and then get into them people, then yeah, I'm a fuck with it, you know? And, you know, it's always been like that. And then the people over there were cool. You were cool. You know, like the behind the scenes.
Yeah, we had great people.
It was fun. But, you know.
Anyway, we got into it like a deep.
Yeah, it was good conversation.
That's good information. That yeah. Somebody is going to be helped by that information.
Let me ask you this. I just one question I definitely want to ask you. As a person that's been in TV 15 years, in your opinion, what makes good TV?
It's got to be entertaining. I have this argument all the
hilarious.
Time.
Hilarious.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be entertaining. I have these arguments all the time with like people who are like, man, fucking The Daily Show is the end all be all to them. And like Colbert is the end all be all. And like Kimmy Schmidt mm-hmm. is the end all. And I'm just like, does that show really entertain you? Like, to me, Tough Crowd mm-hmm. was.
It was entertaining to you.
You know, like. Fallon is just entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be entertaining. I don't care about informative. Like, we talk about it all the time at Uncommon Sense. Like, this would be a great conversation. I'm like, yeah, but would it be entertaining?
So how do you gauge?
Look, we had to do a show like 2 days after the newscaster shooting, and we did a deep dive, and it was a great conversation, and parts of it were entertaining, but like, we obviously had to do it, but my instinct as a TV producer was, I want to do some fun shit, because that's really what the viewers want to see. I don't know, I'm a little jaded, but it's about entertaining. It has to be entertaining to me. It has to be upbeat and energetic and hilarious. Like, I'd rather have a good conversation that's entertaining than just good conversation.
Oh yeah, man, you know.
Like, what's his name? Quentin Tarantino. I mean, his dialogue is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Seinfeld dialogue. It's like I'm saying, Seinfeld could be in a restaurant, the Chinese restaurant episode, or the episode when he's trying to find his car in the parking lot. They're literally in a mundane place, but the dialogue was so rich that it keeps you engaged for the whole entire episode.
Or even just the idea of it. That, like, was it genius. Was so accessible. Like, nobody had really done a storyline about going to the Chinese food restaurant, waiting to eat, being starving. Like, but it was one of those things that was instantly, you got it immediately.
I'll crystallize it. The thing that kills me is, I think irony gets confused with
funny.
And too many shows today and too many like talents that get these jobs, like especially these YouTube stars.
Yeah.
It's like, don't give me 30 minutes of irony.
Break that down a little more. Like, elaborate. Like, okay. What do you mean by irony? Yeah, what do you mean by irony? Yeah.
The Grace Helbig show. Giant YouTube star.
Yeah, I know she is, yeah.
Multiple million subscribers. You watch the show that E made for her, or that she made for E, and obviously she came with like, I got all these millions of followers. They were like, well, go do what you want. The show was like an abomination. It was awful. It was
we are not politically correct.
No, and I don't care that I'm not going to get hired on something that Grace Helbig does, but it's like, it was her walking around this house and like talking. It's all weird. Just soaked in that like gross ironic comedian vibe, as opposed to just funny motherfuckers. Like, the fact that like dudes like Colin Quinn aren't on TV on a regular basis anymore is crazy to me.
Yeah. I think it just goes in waves. Like, whoever's popping the most, like, a lot of that offbeat, you know, awkward, adorable humor became popping for a while. So everything had to be offbeat, adorable, and awkward.
Exactly.
And it's like, I think that shit is kind of over with, or it's kind of, you know, it needs some balance. But, I mean, the other thing is, though, what the fuck? I just totally...
Simple is another thing. Because, like, I'm in pitching now. Like, I've gotten to the level where, like, I can pitch an idea, and all I want to do is get one of my ideas through to make a show. I made a pilot last year, whatever. But it drives me crazy. You pitch an idea, and it's a solid idea. And you always get the note, it needs a twist. I'm sure you know from, like, being in these brainstorms, and we all sit around and we come up with what we know works. And then somebody will come in and be like, I think it needs a twist. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Doesn't need a twist. There's too many twists.
Let's just gamble.
Does
a little bit more
does
gambling.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives have a twist at all?
The Frosted Tips.
Besides that, that show's the most successful food show on TV. Zero twist. But if you went into a channel now and you pitched that, they'd laugh you out of the room. They'd be like, no, we need a twist. They need maybe like people tweet in the suggestions. It's like, no. They don't tweet in the suggestions. You just do it.
Just do it.
Just go and give me an entertaining person trying delicious-looking food. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to get philosophical, but like, there's a Buddhist concept.
Don't hate to get philosophical.
I hate that you're getting philosophical.
Yeah. Just
philosophize, player.
There's a Buddhist concept. I hope I'm breaking it down right.
But I hope so too.
You got the statue of the Buddha, right? And you look to that to give you a reminder of what the Buddhist principles are. But then the practice is you don't get attached to that, because if you get attached to that, you're losing the concept of what it is to be a Buddhist, so to speak. I think what happens a lot with TV is that they'll watch the TV like, oh, Breaking Bad works.
Yeah.
Let's replicate the format. So they look at it like it's an equation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you get attached to
mathematical
the equation.
Mathematical comedy. I say it all the time.
And Damien and I talk about comedy, craft versus hustle. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys will watch comedians and go, oh, he's eating, I'm going to do comedy. Mm-hmm. And they just see the hustle. I can make money because he's doing it.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, how can I generate authentic conversation in a room stemming from my own personal history or whatever your style is? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I see writers, I've watched some of these shows, and it feels like writers are just writing for other writers. You know what I mean? Like, as a comedian, sometimes you see a comic play just to the back of the room for the other comics and miss the audience. They just want to show the comics how daring they can be.
Instead of getting the laughs, they just get the ha!
Yeah, they get the ooh, okay.
From the what? The cosign.
Yeah, that was ooh, that was deep. But it wasn't funny. It was just
I'll keep it real and say, like, I watch SNL now. I'm the biggest SNL person. I know it. I'm like an encyclopedia. I love that show. I've been watching it my whole life. But I feel like when I watch the show now, a lot of it is trying to make each other laugh in the writer's room. Like, this is really, this kills in the office.
Yeah.
But like, you got to write a sketch that people are laughing at in Idaho.
Yeah.
And they don't get that you're like quirky New York, Brooklyn reference.
Yeah.
And all, everything is like a YouTube joke or a Facebook thing, you know. It's like they've lost that, you know, like the cold open. I don't know, I could go on and on about SNL.
I do want to ask you this though, like, there's so many variables for a TV show to win, right? Like, Geico went on for 5 seasons. Who would have thought, right? I mean, it went on
again.
No twist, like,
that's a one line pitch,
right? There's no way to
it's brilliant.
99% of shows get canceled, right? In your experience in working in TV, right, what you find carries the biggest ratio and success? Is it the talent? Is it the initial way the idea is written?
There's no answer to that question. If there was, it goes
back to formula now.
It is so hard.
I've seen Denzel. Denzel could take a shitty script.
Well, he's a hell of a performer.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
but then that goes back to the formula when you say, well, what works and what doesn't work.
For comedy, right? Like, I know what I know what to stick to when I'm writing my material. You get to that point in your career where you're like, I kind of know where I have the most kind of investment and passion in my material. Like, I guess when you start running shows, you kind of know, like, I kind of know what I can deliver, like, in terms of your thing. Like, what do you, you know what I'm saying?
But that's more of a within thing. Because you already said, I know Vlad, and you got to stay true to you.
So for Andrew, well, for him, like, what's,
I thought you were saying for TV.
No, for him, for his experience. Like, for, you know, in terms of, like, what you found with your experience and your journey in television.
In terms of what, though?
Like, like, if you were to ask me about stand-up, right? Like, when I first started out, I was just focusing a lot on the jokes. And then as I kept doing that, I started focusing on the relationships.
Yeah. Okay, like, I'll tell you. You know, and it's a... You get into the chasing the title of the show. Like, I'm all... Like, I gotta get a job on...
X.
Conan. Uh-huh. I got... Like, that... I was obsessed with that. That's all I cared about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you learn eventually as you go on... It really doesn't matter. Like, the only reason it matters, obviously, you know, the pay is maybe a little better and there's longevity, but like, the only reason it matters is to get that cosign from other people doing it. Mm-hmm. But like, I've been consistently patting my own back, but whatever, consistently writing and producing for 10 of those 15 years. Like, I work. Mm-hmm. That I pride myself on the fact I work. Like, I just took a vacation.
I get the job done.
I worked. So, I work. But like, that takes a back seat a lot of times to dudes that put up a one man show at UCB and have zero writing credits, but they get the advance, they get the door open for them right into you know, certain opportunities.
Right.
But like, and then me, I was like, well, I've been working.
Yeah. I feel like it's just no one right way.
There's no one
right way. No one way.
You just like, if you even with like comedy, you have an idea of what is good comedy, and then someone could come and totally destroy all of that and kill. Like, there's so many.
I guess for me, it's just funny. Like, even watching you, D, like, we've been friends for a long time, and I've seen your comedy develop. Uh-huh. And it's funny. It's amazing to watch how someone develops their creative muscle, and they know where to, like harness it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a great thing to watch.
You start to become a little bit more comfortable with your craft or whatever. You start to trust yourself.
And then you're known for that. Like, that's a Chris Rock piece. You start to get known for that type of, you know.
Yeah, you're known for that, becomes your piece when you take those chances.
Absolutely.
Because that's what's going to separate you. Because everybody else, if you play it safe, you'll always be safe, right? You know what I'm saying? Like they say, that's why the lines in the middle of the road are yellow, because they're too scared. You know what I'm saying? But like, if you play it safe, you'll forever be safe. People be like, that was good. And that was good. But if you do something different, they say, yo, that guy, Vladimir Camaño, they know your name. Yeah. Oh, the third guy was good.
Yeah.
Vladimir Camaño, that yeah. motherfucker was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like Chris Rock did the, you know, the N-word shit. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. It was like another level.
It blew up. That was his, I think that was his breakout shit.
Yeah. Chappelle did the
hey, baby.
And the purple stuff.
Purple drink.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, and you don't never really know.
You get that signature bit. Everybody, you know.
And sometimes you don't know. It's just
Jim
like,
Gaffigan's got Hot Pockets. Yeah. Like, you don't know what it is, but like, that's shit. That's true to him. That's his. Now he's the food comedian.
I hate to bring him up, but, you know, Cosby got the dentist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know. Okay.
So
got that Nova, he got that anesthesia.
Anesthesiologist.
Oh, man. He got that basement office.
Even then he was giving a sign.
He got that basement OBGYN office. We don't know what's happening down there.
Anesthesiology.
We really did a deep dive, y'all. I mean, yeah. We did a serious situation. We already
I wish we could talk more actually, man. This was great.
We did a thing, man. I you know.
We had this man back one day.
I appreciate
know?
It.
I think y'all want to get out of here. Y'all want to talk about some more shit? I mean, we got time. We could want to rock. Let's rock. Fuck it. We're going to rock out. We're going into phase two on that ass.
Overdrive.
Whatever you want.
What we want to, I mean, shit. It's a lot going on, man. You driving Teslas in the street? I mean, there's that going on.
I'm looking for a car. And
going for a Tesla?
Well, I was the Tesla because my
Vlad on the come up. You
getting,
know,
he's letting it be
Vlad,
known. No.
Vlad on the bubble
I'm
now.
I'm not
though.
A regular motherfucker.
I got he's on the bubble, are, so he planning.
I got three, four pair Jordans in my book bag.
You guys are hilarious. So I'm looking for a car, and I found out, Andrew, I'm a bit of a geek. I'm a bit of a nerd. I found out that 2017 Tesla is going to get 287 miles to the charge, and it's going to be worth $32,000. Priced at $32,000. Mm-hmm. So I went to the showroom to go visit, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
how much your charge cost? Where are you charging?
Your house.
Can you charge?
Dude, I was just in Italy, and there's charging stations everywhere.
I seen them in L.A., but in a parking lot. You can need a hell of an extension
What if
cord.
You live in an apartment building? Where you charge?
So basically the way it works is the Tesla's kind of cool because like the GPS is set up so like it'll plot your route based on charging stations. So you can literally go cross country and it'll tell you where to stop. It'll say, hey, you need to stop here, and get a full charge.
Oh, that's slick.
And it charges half the battery in 20 minutes.
That's
good. So, you know, they're doing, and the cars are just gorgeous. I mean, the Tesla cars, like it's a
20 minutes?
It'll charge
you'll
half the
be
battery.
In and out of the gas station in four.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I mean,
you gotta plan your stops when you're in the Tesla.
Your Tesla, but you're spending
gas.
You
better gas, hope that
you
shit don't fritz on you.
You're on the way to get some pussy. You gotta wait. I go 20 minutes.
Yeah, man.
I'm charging. Let me
hey.
Recharge my battery.
We gotta pull over and charge.
That's the new let's go park.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's
charging,
dope if you're going to get a Tesla.
Chill.
That's the new wave.
That's the new Tesla commercial. Charge and chill.
Cats hooking their Teslas up to street.
Netflix,
land,
charge and chill.
Hip-hop shit. Yeah, got the shit hooked up to the motherfucking lamp. Yeah, like it's Rocksteady Park.
I wish I could put a Tesla engine in an old school Chevy or something.
That may even be a possibility, dude. You take an old body and hybrid it.
You better do that.
Hybrid it.
How cats put a Corvette engine in a Chevy.
They could do
in
that.
An Impala.
That's the next level. I'm pretty sure this cat's working on that.
Put a Tesla in.
That's the next level.
You know what I'm saying? In the 7 tray.
That's actually, I wouldn't be surprised someone has that on the. That's a great idea. Take an old body and hybrid it. Just, you know.
You got your shit hooked up to the surge protector.
Yeah.
I feel weird because I'm in an advanced age and I've never owned a car. That's the New York life, man.
Yeah, same here.
I start getting that like pang of like, I can't really afford it, but I just really want one because...
How's it driving? You drive well?
Well, because I drive so infrequently. I mean, I'm a cautious.
Are you scared
driver.
To drive? Like when
I you know, drove cube trucks and 16-pass vans all over the city when I was, like, paying and stuff. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, there's something adult about having a car. And I just feel like I want a card just for that. Like everybody's like, oh, I need it for the convenience. I want it because like I've never owned anything.
Them tickets can make you feel like a grown up.
Yeah.
That alternate side parking, you got to care for your car like
you
an animal.
You got the whip.
Yeah, I got the whip.
I feel like you should be a consultant.
It's real right now. I got 8 points on my license.
Dave,
right
you should
now,
be a consultant for like cats going to parking to negotiate parking violations at the courthouse.
Is it more trouble than it's worth?
Having a whip. Nah, it's a headache. It could be a headache, but it's not now. I remember you got to learn how to deal with it. It's the thing about going from a pedestrian to a driver or to a pedestrian to a motorist is there's a lot of new bills and shit to incur that immediately you like, oh, this is some bullshit. And you quietly want to be like, all right, well, if I just not drive, I don't have to deal with
the hidden costs of
the hidden costs of convenience. But after a while, you start learning how to. When I first started driving in the city, you get hit with wild tickets because you forget you gotta read these signs clearly.
And they're not clear.
Make sure you good on your alternate side of the street shit. Make sure your paperwork is up to date. Make sure all that. Make sure you know what the latest speed limit is because the speed limit just went down. And if you don't know, your ass will get caught. I got caught doing fucking 40 and a 30. That used to be a 40.
What were you
listening
to?
That's why I got 8 points.
What were you listening to?
I was talking to you. You were with me when I got caught.
Oh, it was me.
What's the point level now? How many is 10?
12 is a problem, but I'm at 8 to where I got it now. I had to pay 2 tickets. Those are expensive ass tickets. Then they hit you with a driver assessment fee because now I'm in the danger zone.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it's not always worth. I mean, there's, you know, there's a love hate thing. I don't like to train after, you know, fucking local train at 1 a.m. from Brooklyn to Washington Heights. That shit is, you know, that's like a cross country flight.
Yeah. And the characters that show up on that train line at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it, but you got to be an adult with it.
You think it's also adult.
You will pay.
It's also tied to the industry.
New York,
like
New York
comedian.
Fosters laziness and like. In that regard, like you don't have, like I have one really large bill in my life, which is my rent, and then everything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like once you add a car to that, then you got insurance, and you got parking, and you got, you know.
Gas.
God forbid you get towed, because that shit is.
The toe is crazy.
That toe.
The boot. The boot and the toe.
I almost was bankrupt by a toe back in the day. And you've been towed a couple times. That should have given you PTSD.
Yeah,
scared the shit out of
that compound on the West Side Highway?
Any of them.
All of them. They all like.
Them little, when you hit a beep, beep, you looking out the window like, oh shit.
Trauma.
Do I have any tickets?
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of cars, we're about to pull out of here.
Yeah.
And get on the
transform and roll out.
Yeah, man. You got any plugs you wanna?
Yeah, man. At Ange Gold, AngeGold on Twitter, at Goldstein Andrew, my name backwards, on Instagram. And watch on Common Sense, guys. It's really a good show. Like I don't just, you know, I won't usually say it, but
funny.
It's a really good show. And we're Fridays at 11, and next week we're gonna be Wednesdays at 11. And really funny people like Damien show up on it from time to time, and I'm really proud of it, and I think that's all I got.
Before you go, top 5 burger spots in New York City. Go ahead.
I love Shake Shack.
I
love JG Mellon on the Upper East Side. I love the Spotted Pig is my number one.
Okay. Spotted Pig?
The Spotted Pig is dope. Any New Yorker should eat there once in their life. That's that's my last meal in New York, if I had to. What are my other ones?
Two more.
The Burger Joint in the Parker Meridian. Uh-huh. That's an OG. That's one of my favorites. And I'll give you the Emily Burger in Brooklyn. That's a $22 burger, ooh, but it's real good.
Spicy.
That's like a crazy new hybrid situation going on there, but it's real good.
Let us know if you agree or disagree. If you got any other places, let us know in those comments. Muhammad, where you at?
I'm at MrMuhammad.com and at MrMuhammad on Instagram and Twitter.
There you go. Vlad, what's cracking?
LaughingVlad.com. Check out the website. My dates are on. I'm in the city for the next 2 weeks, and then I'll be out on the West Coast again. I'm flying out there for some stuff.
Right.
But I'm in the city for the next 2 weeks. I'll be at Levity Live next weekend. For a couple shows out there.
Bi-coastal Camagno, is that it yet?
Bi-coastal Camagno.
Hey now.
We out here flying back and forth, man. We doing the damn thing.
Good for you.
That's what's up, man. Shit, I'm judging a roast battle on Saturday, the 19th, over at New York Comedy Club. That should be fun. And, yo, shout out to everybody that came through to the Stress Factory this past weekend, man. We had a good, good time. It was fun as shit. A lot of In The Conversation listeners that showed love and showed their face, and we definitely support it. And, yeah, keep rocking with us. Tell a friend, and tell your enemy. Get In The Conversation.
In The Conversation.
We out.